Well, we continue in the Word of God this morning. Last time we were together, the last messages we had were on the parable of the sower. If you remember, we had the seed. We had the four soils last time. We had the seed, we had the sower, and we have the soil, and we looked at the four soils last time. That's right. Can you remember what soils they were? Stony soil. The thorns, yeah. The good soil, that's three. The pathway, yeah, okay. Wow, okay, this is good, right. Yeah, and but which was the one you want? The good soil, right. The soil of a heart that's been tendered by God so that when the seed falls in, it bears fruit. It doesn't just have a little bit of a bush come and poof, it's gone, but reality. Remember, it all starts with the soil. That's where the real answer is. It starts at the beginning. Sometimes it's very difficult to get somebody to walk with God when they really have not trusted Him. They've said, I want the cares of this world, and I want Jesus, and I want sin, and I want... You can't make somebody like that walk with God. There has to be the ground's got to get plowed, right? And that's important. So Jesus is not done speaking in parables. So he's going to speak some more to them. And he actually uses this here in the next phrase in Mark chapter 4, verse 21. He said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? And this sounds very obvious, doesn't it? You don't take a lamp. You don't go buy a lamp. Oh, I want to put a lamp. I want to light up my room. So I buy the lamp, and then I bring it home, and I put a basket over the top of it. That would be ridiculous, right? That's what the Lord is saying here. He said it's not brought to be put under a basket or under a bed. It's meant to be set on a lampstand. So Jesus is saying that light is meant to shine. The truth is meant to shine. He's giving an illustration here with the lamp and the lampstand. For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor is anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anybody has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, this is something that he said more than once, and it's something that he'll say again later on. We find him speaking those words again and again to the churches in the book of Revelation. He said, open your ears, really hear what's going on here. Really understand what's happening here. So Jesus is speaking here about light, and he's speaking about light shining, and he's speaking about the reality that we were meant to receive the light of the world. And of course, Jesus himself was the light of the world. He didn't hide it under a bed somewhere, but he shone the truth to people. He exposed that truth. And that's what light does. Light reveals things as they really are. When you're walking in the dark or when you can barely see, you know how sometimes when you're driving and it's just between dark and daylight and dark, it's the worst time, isn't it? Worst time because, of course, animals are on the move. But not only that, it's just you seem like you got no headlights. You put them on and they don't work. Why? Because it's not dark enough yet for those that headlights to shine. And yet it's almost a little too dark. Maybe it's because my eyes are getting older. It's getting a little too dark to be able to see things clearly or properly. And so stumbling around in the dark is not a good idea. We don't see things as they really are. We've got a dog home who's blind. He's completely stone blind. And he went blind last spring, just like that. He was blind. And he's not bad. He gets along pretty good in his own little routine. But if you start moving the furniture around, bunk, 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 he starts whacking his head on stuff because everything's not supposed to, where it's supposed to be. Because he can't see. He can't see those obstacles. He runs into them, right? He's learned to be very cautious with his steps, right? But he gets along fine. So, you know, sometimes he heads out, like he goes out to have a pee, and he just keeps going, right? So, but he can still hear. Thank the Lord for that. But we need to be able to see things clearly. And the devil, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the devil has blinded the minds of those that don't believe. So they're blind. They're blind to their own sin. They're blind to the results of sin, even though the proof is in the pudding. As people go off and do wrong things, they reap the mess of it. The world's in a mess. It's obvious what's causing the problem, but they're trying to fix it in so many crazy ways, thinking, well, you know, if we could just get everybody involved in sports, if everybody would play hockey, the world would be a happy place. That's not true, you know. It's just not true. I mean, hockey's good, and so is other sports, but they don't cure the real illness that people have. They don't cure the sin problem. Or, you know, if we could just come together and try to love one another, it doesn't work because they don't have the means of doing that. Every place has its problems. I remember years ago preaching in Alberton PEI, and there's three or four church steeples. You can see them pretty close to one another in the little town of Alberton, not far from where Jonathan's from. Anyway, I remember preaching, and I said, you know, people would come here and they would look and say, what an idyllic town this is. Look at those church steeples and this peaceful looking village. My, everything must be like heaven here. Until they actually move there. And when you move there and you begin to hear the grumbling and the complaining and who hates who and the feuding that's going on and all the problems that are there underneath. Now, we know that Alberton's like that, but not Shetty Camp, right? Right. Yeah. No backbiting, no gossiping, no harsh words, right? That's the way it is, right? No, it's not the way it is. There's a lot of darkness wherever you go. No matter how idyllic places look, the problem is that there's people there, right? And so there's a real problem, and only Jesus can fix these problems. But in order to fix them, the first thing has to do, light has to shine. Truth has to be seen. Sin has to be seen for what it really is. And that light, first of all, shines in your heart. And when it shines in your heart, it exposes you. And it shows you your own sin. Never mind everybody else's. We're very good at pointing at other people's sin. But when he shows us our sin, it either does one of two things. It either causes you to reject that light, turn away from the light, run from that light because you want to stay in the dark. Or it causes you to come to the light and say, I need deliverance. I need the forgiveness. I need the change in my life that's needed by the power of God. Jesus is the light of the world. And he did not hide it under a bushel. And he has not hid it under a basket or under a bed. He has continued to shine as the light of the world. Down through the centuries, he is still exposing the darkness. He is still revealing things as they really are. So that we can see the right path. So that we can see the right way to go in the maze of life. And all the things that can trip you up. God is shining his light into this world. The Bible, the word of God itself, God uses as a torch, as a light. The word, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, Psalm 119 says to us. So that we have this wonderful ability to be able to see things as they are, to be able to navigate through life. So that when we're faced with circumstances and situations, wondering which direction should I go in, start praying, friends. Turn to the Lord because he is the light of the world. He will light your path. Jesus said, if anyone follows me, Jesus said in John chapter, well, I got it here somewhere, I think I do. John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus spoke to them again and said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Can you imagine if you were blind all your life? And in that blindness, someone could come, whether it was by technology or whether by a miracle, whatever it was, you were stone blind, you couldn't see things at all, you adjusted to it, you lived with it, but suddenly the lights came on. Suddenly you can see. Can you imagine what it would be like? It'd be an incredible experience, would it not? That's what happens when somebody becomes a believer. Spiritually, suddenly they begin to see. Suddenly their eyes are open. And as they begin to see, they begin to understand things in a better light. They begin to understand who God is, who they are, what sin does, the powers of darkness that are at work in the world. And they begin to say, I want to walk in the light. I want to walk in the light. I want to see things the way they are. I don't want to drift into the darkness. I don't want to live in the gray area. I want to walk in the brightness of the light of Jesus Christ, in the truth of his word. So Jesus is encouraging that he is not hiding his light. And he's really saying, neither should you. And not only that, he's saying this, there's nothing hidden which shall not be revealed. There is no need for there to be hypocrisy and darkness. There is no need to be fakers. There's no need to be hypocrites. Because everything is going to be exposed anyway. Everything is going to be shown for what it really is. There are many people who are professing to be believers, but secretly they're living sinful lives. And God says, you know, this isn't going to work, friends. I know what's really going on in people's lives and people's hearts. Whatever's in here is going to show out there. So he said, he's saying, be real. Be real. Not fake, not hypocritical, but real in your lives. Expose the situations. Talk about them. Deal with them. If you're struggling with a problem, find a friend. You don't have to, you know, confess all your sins before the congregation. But you can talk to somebody and say, I'm struggling with an area. I need help. Pray for me. Or just ask for prayer so that we can come out of those darkness, so we can leave the dark corners behind, so that you can walk in the light, so that we can say, I am who I am. This is who I am now, and this is who I'll be when I get home. It's a sad thing that often you can look at a home, you can say, wow, you know, it looks like they're getting along really good. And then next thing you hear, bang, they're broke up. You say, wow, they did a really good job of looking good on the outside, but there was something rotten on the inside. It was a pretense. It was a sham. It wasn't real. And that's a tragedy, isn't it? Well, Jesus says that's not the way Christianity is meant to be lived. It isn't, let's come to church with our bright, shining faces and then go home and rip somebody else apart. It's a reality that ought to be going on all week long. Let your light so shine. Jesus encourages us. He says he's the light of the world. He also says that we are the light of the world as well. In Mark chapter 5, he says that you are the light of the world. And so not only is he the light of the world, but so are we. I don't have it on here. And so he's the light, but then that light comes and shines in us, and then we shine that light on others. And that's what the light is for. It's so that things will be exposed. In John chapter 3, Jesus speaks about the fact that men love darkness rather than life because their deeds are evil. They love the darkness. They run to the darkness rather than the light. Listen, run to the light. Run to Jesus. Run to his word. Let that light shine. You know, the older I get, the more light I need. If I'm doing any work now in the shop or whatever, I get a headlamp on, right? Miner's lamp. I need all that light to be able to see what I'm doing. And so I need the light. But spiritually, we really do need the light. We need the light of the world. We need Jesus. We need him to be shining in us, and then we need him to be shining out of us. But here's what happens. If I will live in sin, if I live with the clutter of sin, if I'm not serving him, if I'm not walking with him, my light is dim. There's no light shining. I've got it under a bushel. I've got it under a basket. I've got it under the bed. And so it's not enough just to know the light of the world shining into me. The light of the world has to shine out of me. It has to do something. It has to come in, transform me, and then shine out of my life. In my words, in my deeds, and in everything that I do. Jesus said that we are the light of the world, and then he said that for that light to be shining like a city is not, a city that's on a hill is not hidden. He said that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So the light of the world was meant to shine in you, but also meant to shine out of you. Don't plug it up by sin. Don't wall it in. Don't let it become a hypocritical thing where the light shines in but it doesn't shine out, because it doesn't work. Jesus said this. He said to them, take heed what you hear. Be careful what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given. He says, listen, if you're going to just hear stuff but it isn't going to change you, that's no good. He actually encourages us as you take in the word of God, it's like he uses the word use here, or you take it in, it will be measured to you. You'll get more, and to you here more will be given. If I am willing to listen and respond, then more will happen. Then I will grow. Then the light will shine brighter. Then my life will become more and more what it was meant to be in God. This is what God wants for us. He wants us not just to be taking in knowledge, but he wants us to be drinking in the truth and being transformed by it. If you don't, then growth stops. You're meant to grow. I mean, if you had a baby and the baby was born, and after, 2 years, the baby was still the same length, was still, not even saying mama, would you finally become concerned? You'd say, oh, I got to do something. There's something, my baby's not developing. It's meant to grow. Well, we're babies. When you become a Christian, you become a newborn baby spiritually, and you're meant to grow. You're not meant to stay the same. You're meant to advance and grow in your faith and in your walk with God. In order for that to happen, you need to be receiving the truth, and you need to be responding to that truth. You need to be taking it into your life and responding to it. And that's what he speaks of here. If you don't do that, then you're going to miss on it, because he says, for whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Won't do you any good. You need to respond to the light. It's an ongoing response. It means that you need to be hungry for God, hungry for him, that feeding on the word of God every day. Are you reading your Bible every day? Are you taking it up and reading a passage of the word of God? If you're a couple, do you read the Bible together? Do you go through a passage of scripture? Do you pray before you read and say, Lord, show me, give me some understanding of what this means? Are you seeking God? If you're just getting a little bit of scripture here on Sunday morning from me, by the time next Sunday rolls around, most of that's gone out of your head. It's the truth, friends. I mean, some of it you got, but most of it will go out of your head. You need to feed every day on the Word of God. In the Old Testament, the children of Israel were in the desert, but every day God caused bread to come from heaven for them, to provide for them for 40 years. But they had to go out and gather it. It was there for the taking. So let me encourage you, gather the bread of life. Gather in every day the truth of God. Discover what it is to know God in reality. Don't run through life with just a little bit of God here and there in your experience. Because he says something serious here. What he has will be taken away from him. Why? It's because if there's nothing to start with, it's because if the light is only shone in, but it's not shone out, you'll lose that light even that's shining in. You'll block it out after a while. You'll look in other directions. You'll run after sin and everything else that try to fill the gap and the void in your life, and you'll miss the real thing. Oh, here's... this was in just a different translation of the same passage. And he says this. Here's from the New Living Translation, Mark 4:24. He added, please pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you'll be given, and you'll receive even more. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. You'll lose it. You'll forget about it. You'll move on to other things. You need to respond. Remember how the wise men got enough knowledge to know that the King of the Jews had been born. Enough knowledge by that star that shone in the heavens that they needed to go and see him. So they left everything. They did all the planning. They went all that way to see Jesus. And in the meantime, the scribes and the Pharisees who were in Jerusalem, just a few miles away, even when they were told that the Savior had been born, when the inquiry was given to them and they knew that it was in Bethlehem, they never went. They never went to see. They had a little bit of light, but they didn't respond to it. Meantime, the wise men had far less light, but they did respond to it. They didn't know the town that Jesus was to be born in, but the other guys actually had more light, and they never responded. So respond to that light. Turn to Jesus completely.
You know, it says we saw earlier in Mark 4:10, when Jesus was alone with the 12 disciples, with the others who were gathered around, they asked him what the parables meant. He replied, "You're permitted to understand the secret of the kingdom of God, but I use parables for everything I say to outsiders, so the scripture might be fulfilled. When they see what I do, they will learn nothing. When they hear what I say, they will not understand, otherwise they will turn to me and be forgiven." When we read that, it sounds strange. It almost sounds like I'm trying to keep them from the light. But what did we discover when we went through this passage? Now I'm stretching back a few days. Can you remember what we discovered from this passage? What was the key to it?
Those that asked got the answers.
Those that ask got the answers. Absolutely. Those that seek will find. Those that knock, it will be opened. Those who ask will receive. If you're not going to ask, if you're not going to seek, if you're not going to knock, you're not going to get anything out of it. You need to seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near, the Word of God says. So we need to respond to the light, friends. Every day, respond to that light. Don't, when God is speaking about a particular area in your life and you refuse to respond, here's what begins to happen. You begin to shrivel up. You begin to miss out. You begin to not see things as they really are. Respond to the light. Even if the light's convicting you, respond to it. If it's calling you to something, respond to it. Don't hold back. But everything and all who we are, surrendered to Jesus Christ. Proverbs 23:23 says this, "Buy the truth and do not sell it." The picture that's given here is if you're in the marketplace and you find something that, you know, that's precious, it's really precious, you buy it up, you take it, you bring it up, and you're not going to sell it. You're going to take it and you're going to own it because this is what you really want. And he's giving that picture about the truth. He says, buy it and don't sell it. Hang on to the truth. When you're going through life, look for the truth and grab a hold of the truth. It is far more precious than all of the possessions that you could ever own in this world is the truth. Because the truth shows us, as I said, who we are, shows us who God is, shows us where our eternal destiny is. It reveals all the things that we need to know, everything that we need to know for life and for godliness. So when we come, oh yeah, here's the passage I mentioned earlier, Matthew 5:14. "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand that it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Matthew 5:14. Let the light of the world shine in you and then shine through you. Don't let it be plugged up or hindered in any way. And so when it comes to the truth of the Word of God, we have this wonderful passage in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 19, says this, "So then, my beloved brothers, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul." So he gives the contrast of two streams. One, there is wicked filthiness and wickedness. He said, lay that aside. You notice that it just doesn't say, just take in the word. It's kind of like if a cup is already full, how are you going to put any more in it? Right? The cup needs to be emptied out, emptied of these things. Lay them aside and instead receive with meekness the implanted word, the word of God. It's able to save your souls. And then he goes on to say this, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." So he says, you don't take the word of God in just so that you have more knowledge. You can fill our heads with knowledge. You could memorize whole passages of the Bible, but be an ornery person and not somebody you'd like to be around at all. It's possible, you know. There are people who have swelled heads. It's easy for people to have swelled heads, thinking that because they know some stuff, they're, you know, maybe a little bit higher up. But it isn't knowledge. It's love. It's the fruit of the Spirit of God. It's the transformed life that God is looking for. Knowledge has to have a purpose. It's that it might produce wisdom. What's the difference between knowledge and wisdom? Somebody tell me, you know? Knowledge, wisdom. What's the difference? What's that? Okay, what you know how smart you are. Sort of, that's pretty close. Okay, okay. So wisdom is something that comes, okay? Yeah, okay, say that again. You have to know what to do with the knowledge, right? So we have knowledge, that is, we find out some truths over here, and you can have all kinds of knowledge. You can be full of book learning, as they used to say, right? But over on this side of the equation is taking that knowledge and applying it. Does that make sense? Okay, so knowledge is knowing stuff. Wisdom is applying that knowledge in a practical way in your life, right? And that's why we need the wisdom of God. The Bible says that knowledge puffs up. So I need wisdom to be able to take knowledge and apply it. And that wisdom comes from God. And so it's not enough to know things. So he says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. It's not enough that you know some new stuff. Sometimes, you know, you can go to a Bible study and say, I never knew that before. I never knew that before. I never knew that before. Oh, it's wonderful. I learned some new stuff. I'm happy if you learn some new stuff. But I'm more happy that if you take that new stuff and it's applied to your life. My passion is not to give you a whole bunch of knowledge about God. My passion is that it somehow is applied practically in your life. Because if it isn't, I haven't done a good job. Yes?
Isn't the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom?
Yes, it is, yeah. That awe of God, that revelation of God, which does produce an awe in us. As Jonathan was sharing with the youth group on Friday night, he was saying, you know, that it was teaching about who the great I am is. And he was saying to them, you know, at one point, as we go through this, you're just going to go, it's like, whoa. It's seeing God. It's understanding who God is. That blows us away. It is amazing. The more we study God, the more revelation we have of him. Go deeper, friends. Go deeper. Go deeper with God. Let the light of the world shine into you. Let it begin to seep out of you. Let it begin to come out of your bones. Walk around with like you've got a light bulb in your mouth. And it's actually working, right? Light up the world. Light up the world. Praise God that Jesus is the light of the world. But so are you meant to be lights. Hallelujah. You see, he says, if you're a hearer and not a doer, you're deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and he goes away, immediately forgets what kind of man he was. He says, somebody who's only a hearer and not a doer, it's just kind of like they look in the mirror, they see what they're really like, but then they forget it as soon as they walk away. They don't, you know, I mean, that's the way I live. I glance in the mirror and that's about it. But spiritually, I can't do that. I need to stop and look in the Word of God. And as I do, it exposes me. It shows me who I am. It shows me who Jesus is. And if I will dwell there, if I will take time there, then I'll be changed. I'll be transformed. The Bible says, looking at, it's like we look at Jesus as if we're looking in a glass. And as we see him, the Spirit of God changes us. We become more and more like Jesus Christ. We're transformed into his image. But he who looks in the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not forgetful here, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. There's where the blessing lies. You want more of God, you can have him. Someone has said this, you can have as much of God as you want. The question is how much do you want? Many of us want a little. Many of us want a little bit of God in our lives, a little bit of church, a little bit of this. You can have as much as you want. How much do you really want? That's what Jesus was actually saying when he said, respond to the light. Let that light shine in you. Let that light shine out of you. Let it be real so that what comes in actually begins to come out in my life right away. It's not meant to be bottled up. It's not meant to be covered up. All the way, fully transparent. Lord, come in, shine in, do what you want with me. Lord, I'm ready for whatever change you have for me. I'm ready to put aside things that need to be put aside. I'm ready to put you first in every part of my life. Lord, expose everything for what it really is. Show me, Lord. Take the blinders off. I want to know. I want as much of God as I can have. And it's okay. It's okay to want that. It's okay to pursue the Lord, to seek the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, to fall in love with him, to open the word of God and drink it into your life. Seek the Lord. Go for it. Go for gold. Why wouldn't you? Why not experiment in that direction and say, okay, God, that's it. By your mercy and by your grace, let me respond to the light that you show me this week. But let me at least be listening and looking for that light. Let me seek the Lord and find the blessings that will flow into your life and out of your life. Man, we haven't touched the half of it. Go for gold. I just want to encourage you. Don't just sit in the knowledge that you're receiving, but let it become part of your very existence as you look to the Lord and as you trust in him. Because otherwise, you'll come to a stop. You'll miss. You won't see things as they really are. And Jesus was speaking here to the multitudes and letting them know, look, this has got to be an all-the-way thing. Speaking to the believers and saying, it's an all-the-way thing. It's not halfway measures. Let your light shine. Let the light of Jesus Christ shine in, and then, Lord, let it do its work in my soul so that it shines out of my life. That's the way it's supposed to be. Father, thank you for the Bible, for your word. And Lord, we cry out to you today that we would be those who would say yes to Jesus. We would be those, Lord, who would not just get some knowledge in our heads, but Lord, it would come into our hearts and transform us and move us on out to be lights in this dark world, lights in our conduct and in our conversation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, someone